Be careful in what you think and believe about angels. They've been around a long time. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, the teaching pastor for Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. And thank you for joining us today. The angels are very numerous. In fact, we have no real idea of how many of them God created. And their job is to serve God as messengers and wires. Turn with us to the New Testament book of Revelation today. And here's Pastor Jim now to get our study underway.
Several months ago, we did our best to put in most of your hands a copy of a book about angels. And it's a book that admittedly has stirred my soul very, very deeply and changed my perspective on a lot of things. It's not so much that I learned a lot of new things. I don't mean that. What I mean is I learned some things very well. I no longer look out toward the moon tonight and think about all that space. It's really not space. It's a very busy zone. And I look out beyond the moon, out to the stars. And for me now, with my eyes, that's no longer just clouds, vapor. That's habitation. The book challenged me to rethink what I know about and what I believe about angels. And a couple of weeks ago, I brought a message where we talked about the bad angels, the one-third of the angels who defaulted from God's original creative purpose, revolted against God, and followed a rebellion led by His Majesty Satan. I say His Majesty because even Michael the archangel, when he was disputing with Satan about the body of Moses, did not bring a railing accusation against him. Don't get careless in your attitude about Satan. His workers, we call them demons, fallen angels. They are powerful, a lot smarter than I am, and you are. Been around a long time. The Bible indicates that they were created before the heavens and the earth that we dwell in now. So they've been around for thousands of years. I've only been around for millions of years personally. I don't know about you. Seriously, they've been around for a long time. They're good observers, they're alert, and they're on call. They apparently don't sleep. There are no female angelic beings that we know of. That's not a slam dunk on the ladies. Rather, it's a celebration of your uniqueness. You are unique in the created order of God. But these angelic beings are multitudinous. And tonight, what I want to do is chat for a bit. And I want to talk about the good angels. I'd like us to remind ourselves of some of the resources that are ours in Christ Jesus because of these good angels. To remind it today, Peter reminds us that the prophets of the Old Testament wrote about the coming sacrifice of Messiah, his sacrifice on our behalf, and the glory of the kingdom that would follow. And Peter and his folks and we in our time study those prophecies to know what time and what sequence and how these things all work out, because that's our inheritance. We're caught up into that. So it's not just a no-consequence subject for us. And then Peter adds this: which things the angels, hear or look into. The point is, angels are students of Scripture. So they not only know what they know from observing generation after generation after generation of God's dealing with humanity and man's response to humanity, they were here before, during, and after the flood. Angels are God's servants. And tonight, for a few moments, I want to literally to browse with you in the place in the Bible where the ministry of angels is more celebrated and more discussed than any other of the 66 books. And of course, that's the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. Now, sometimes we browse into this book and go through it without thinking about that. In order to go where the things in the book of the Revelation take place, in order to go to that place that is central to the book of Revelation and its theme, in order to go there, John had to be, well, he had to be caught up in the Spirit. Look at chapter 1 quickly. Chapter 1 of the book of the Revelation. Verse 9, John says, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation, kingdom, perseverance in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of God's word and the testimony about Jesus. And I was in the Spirit, on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, and Jesus speaks. John turns and he sees the Lord Jesus with his hands full. Out of that, John is given the commission directly by the Lord Jesus to write down what you're looking at, John. Write it down. And there follows in chapters 2 and 3 a series of 7 personally addressed letters to the 7 churches of Asia Minor. Those were active congregations in John's day. Now remember, it's now 95 AD. Rome burned to the ground 25 years ago. It's been almost 30 years since Peter and Paul were martyrdom. So there's been some time pass. John is the only living apostle still alive. All the other 11 have been martyred. John's on the Isle of Patmos. But you notice, he was in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Some suggest it means that it was Sunday, the Lord's day, and that John was worshiping. Others believe that John is saying that he was, I'm going to use the word, connected to things above. That his channel selector that day was focused on heaven, things above. Therefore, his mind was in a fertile state. His mind was prepared by the Spirit of God to see things that you don't ordinarily see, to hear things that otherwise he would not have heard, and to understand things that are pivotal to the meaning of the whole book. Now turn over quickly to chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 1. John says, after this I looked, and there in heaven, wherever John's on the Isle of Patmos, there in heaven, in the heavens, was an open door. The first voice, that would be Jesus, that I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. Immediately, I was in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means that John had to morph to go to the place where the angels call home. God didn't move heaven down here and parade it before John. God took John up there. And you read, immediately I was in the Spirit, and there in heaven a throne was set, one sitting on the throne, and you go on and read. It is an incredible experience. God takes John on a space trip, beyond space, to the very throne of heaven. And guess what? That's where the angels live. Now, angels may visit Earth on assignment, and we know lots of times they did. And we're acquainted with a number of situations in Scripture where angels actually show up and become visible and interact with humans here on earth. We know about that. But that's them coming to our space. The book of the Revelation is written, it's revealed and written from God's perspective. And you're going to hear John say things like, I heard what seemed to sound like. I saw what in appearance looked like. Why? Because heaven is not John's home yet. John's a guest in the angel's habitation. And everything in the book of Revelation orients from that perspective. As far as I know, it's the only book in the Bible that has that orientation. So all of the book of Revelation takes place or transpires in heaven or from heaven's point of view. Now, there's going to be passages where John's going to see some things and learn some things that are taking place on earth. We know that. But they're going to be taking place on earth from heaven's point of view. Remember that. Remember that. All 22 chapters of the book of the Revelation are written from the perspective of the habitation that angels call home. And there's a lot up. Now, notice also, turn back to chapter 21, the last chapter in the book, and I'm going to show you the same thing again, Revelation chapter 21, the new heavens, new earth has come down. It's on the earth. We're told that. In verse 9 of chapter 21, one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came and spoke to me. One of the angels who dished out the seven bowls, one of the bowls, the seven bowls of God's wrath, one of those angels came and spoke to John. John, come. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Then he carried me away in the Spirit. What's that mean? That means John's not only going forward in time, John's going upward in elevation. And John is going to be able to do to the new Jerusalem here in chapter 21 what he did to the old Jerusalem back there in chapter 11. Remember that? Where a reed was given to John and John was told to measure the temple and those that worship there, that's chapter 11. Here, John is taken by the Spirit of God into the future and into the world of the angels. That's where they live. Got it? Now, there's a number of things we learn about angels in the book of the Revelation, and some are going to leave us kind of high and dry. That by that I mean, we're going to say, yeah, that's what the text says. I believe that. I don't understand what that means, but that's what it says. It's my understanding that the concept and the reality of angels is more popular, more discussed in the book of the Revelation than all the rest of the New Testament books put together. So Revelation is an invitation not just to think about the future, but it's a perfect place to get acquainted with angels. And tonight, in the moments we have, just a couple of things that I would like to stimulate your thinking. May I do that? Thank you. First thing you notice is when John gets to heaven in chapter 4, let's start early in that. When John takes the dictated letters from the Lord Jesus that he writes down in chapters 2 and 3, John, in each case, is told to address the letter like this. To the angel of the church in Ephesus. To the angel of the church in Smyrna. To the angel of the church in Thyatira. To the angel of the church in Pergama. To the angel of the church in Sardis. To the angel of the church seven times to each of the seven churches, Jesus doesn't say, now talk to Pastor Heller about this. He doesn't say, send a note to Pastor Jim about this. He doesn't say, cue in Pastor Mike about this. Consistently, in all seven of those letters, Jesus begins with something that we tend to forget. There are angels in this room. There are angels that are charged with the health of this congregation. There are angels that are on call, angels that are right now busy doing things for the benefit of this church you're in tonight. You ever think of that? I think of the hymn that says, angels are lingering there. Angels are lingering there. And it's a word, it's an idea that angels love to look into what God is doing in the body of believers on earth. That angels have a vital connection and a vital commitment and assignments to fulfill for the benefit of the body of believers here at Grace. I can name all the other places that I know. Now, why would Jesus do this? I believe it's because Jesus is addressing the churches from his perspective. And when Jesus looks at the church, he sees us and he knows us, but he also knows that there are angelic forces committed to the success of this church, defending, protecting it, seeking to assist the Spirit of God in his work of developing Christ-like spirits in all of us. Even like centuries, not the time, but the soldier, standing guard over the welfare of the church as she meets. Now notice the last verse of chapter 1. All of this is set up by John seeing Jesus standing physically there before him. In verse 20, this is chapter 1, verse 20, Jesus is explaining to John the meaning of the symbols that he has chosen to use to impress upon John what's important to Jesus. Look at it. The secret of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and of the seven gold lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now I know vast majority of interpreters of Scripture, I would put myself in that camp. You think that the word here, angel, simply means messenger. Angelos, messenger. I think there's much more in that. I think what Jesus is impressing upon John is that John, the churches for which you've given your life, the testimony of the churches for whom you are imprisoned here is in higher hands. Rome doesn't control the destiny of any one of these seven churches. I do. Notice what he says about those seven lampstands. He said, the seven lampstands that I'm standing in the middle of are the seven churches. Surely that means they represent the seven churches. Each church has its own place in God's program, God's care. And each church has angelic assistance, guarding, protecting, doing things for us as they respond to the direction of King Jesus, both for our care and for our effectiveness. Angels are lingering here. That was certainly true of the seven churches. And many of the things that are discussed in each of those letters to each of those seven churches have an overtone of need for God's intervention. That is, they expose the weaknesses, the shortcomings of the church, and Jesus addresses the need for change, the need for endurance, the need for revival, addresses it to and through the angelos, the church, the angel. It also suggests that each church has at least one angelic agent, and that that agent reports directly to King Jesus. The human pastor, the elders, may get old and die, not the angel. And Jesus thus sets a tone for the rest of the book. He's going to tell us about angels because angels matter to Jesus. Now, we don't hear anything about angels in chapter 4. John is in heaven. He sees the throne. He sees God on the throne. He sees all kinds of things. But look at verse 4. Around the throne where God is sitting were 24 thrones. And on the throne sat 24 elders dressed in white clothes with gold crowns on their heads. See that? Amazing. Verse 8. Also before the throne was something like a sea of glass, similar to crystal. In the middle and around the throne were four living creatures covered with eyes in front and in back. Describes the four living creatures. Heaven is a living place. And what John saw were some of the creatures that serve God in heaven right now. The 24 elders, what do they represent? I'm still persuaded they represent the church, raptured, having gone through the Bema Seat judgment, and now they're seated, they're ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ here in heaven and preparing to rule and reign with him on earth here in about 7 years in the future. That's what I was taught, and I have found no reason yet to abandon that position. Either way you cut it, they're real people.
Angels matter to God. They do not die, and it appears they do not sleep. But when the Apostle John saw heaven, his attention was not on angels, but on all the other living creatures there, and on the object of their attention, God sitting on his throne in power and glory. Well, these daily lessons are available on single CDs. If you would like a copy for your own home library, they are available. We're calling today's lesson From the Angel's Point of View, and for your gift of $7 or more, we'll send you this single lesson. Our current series on angels is available as a 7-disc set for your gift of $40 or more. Now, that pricing includes the book, Those Invisible Spirits Called Angels by Renald Showers. As usual, we have several ways that you can order. You can call our toll-free number at 1-800-984-2313. Or you can order on the Internet when you log on to rightstartradio.org. Our website features an archive of past programs as well as complete uninterrupted sermons. This daily Right Start Radio program is also available as a podcast on iTunes. Or just write to us at Right Start Radio, Post Office Box 437, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You know, you can actually be a part of the Right Start Radio ministry. With your prayerful financial support, you become a part of our Right Start Radio family. I'm John Skillman. Thank you for listening in today. Why don't you plan now to join us again on Wednesday at this same time for our next edition of Right Start.